I mean, the people of Medina were very upset and irritated against the Umayyad caliphs of the time. So the ruler of Medina wrote a letter to the cursed Yazid and explained to him about the situation in the city of Medina and the role of Lady Zainab salamullahi alayha in awakening the people and even maybe to make them do a kind of revolt again, an uprising against Yazid. According to this report, in reply to the letter of the ruler of Medina, Yazid mentioned that you have to expel Lady Zainab salamullahi alayha from the city of Medina. So for that reason, the ruler of Medina did that and forced Zainab salamullahi alayha and Abdullah, her husband, to leave the city of Medina. And finally, they had to go to Egypt, and they were welcomed, according to this report, by the ruler of Egypt and some of the people. And after about 1 year, she passed away in the year 63 in Cairo. So this is the reason why she, according to some, she passed away in Egypt and was buried there. And we know that today there is a shrine for her, or the location of her grave in Cairo as well.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And those people who believe that she was buried in Syria, they mentioned that, yes, according to these historical reports, the ruler of Medina tried to expel them. But Lady Zainab salamullahi alayha went to Syria. Another report says that when the event of Harra took place, we know that another great crime and heinous crime committed by Yazid was that he sent an army to this holy city of Medina in 62 after Hijrah, and many people were killed and all the other crimes done by that army. And Zainab salamullah alayha, again, she became very upset. Abdullah ibn Ja'far somehow to, help his wife and relieve her morale. He took her to a farm that they had in Syria. And also it's been mentioned, according to some historical reports, that at that time, a certain illness was widespread in the city of Medina. So for these reasons, Abdullah ibn Ja'far took Lady Zainab salamullah alayha to a farm that they had in, or he had in Syria. And finally, Lady Zainab salamullah alayha became ill and passed away in Syria or Damascus. According to this historical report, after Zainab Kubra, Umm Kulthum, the other daughter of Imam Ali and Fatimah al-Zahra salamullahi alayhima, we know that Umm Kulthum was famous as Zainab al-Sughra, the younger Zainab. But when Zainab al-Kubra passed away in Syria, Umm Kulthum became known as Zainab Kubra after her demise. So Zainab Kubra passed away, then Zainab Sughra became known as Zainab Kubra. And she was the one who went to Egypt and passed away in Egypt and was buried there. So we have these two stories about Egypt and about Damascus. The point is that, as I mentioned, the location of the grave of Lady Zainab salamullah alayha has three possibilities. Among them, Egypt and Damascus are more likely, and between these two, the grave in Damascus is more famous.
Yeah.
But the point is that all these places which are attributed to Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, they are holy places for us, because at least there is a possibility for Zainab Salamullah alayha to be buried there, and they are places for people coming and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the fact that it's possible for Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha to be buried in Damascus is enough for us to consider that place a holy place.
Yeah.
This is the first point. Now, considering the war in Syria against ISIS, and the fact that the Shia who went there from countries like especially Afghanistan, Pakistan and Iran to defend the shrine, and as you mentioned, they are known as those defenders of the shrine. First of all, the first point is that the presence of these great Shia in Syria has so many reasons. But first of all, if we want to consider the fact that they wanted to defend the shrine, as I mentioned, there is a great possibility for Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha to have been buried in Damascus.
Very true.
And that is enough for us. But beside that, there are so many other, religiously speaking, so many other important places and shrines in Damascus and in the whole Syria. So we shouldn't think that the shrine of Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha is the only important place, religiously speaking, and from Shia perspective, and not only from Shia, from Muslims' perspective, in Syria. We can mention, the holy shrine of Lady Ruqayya Salamullah alayha, the holy daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which is in the same city. There is a place called Maqam Ra'asul Hussein, where the holy head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was put there for a while. There is a cemetery known as Bab al-Saghir, in which we have great people buried, and some of the holy heads of the martyrs of Karbala, some of the great companions of the Prophet, and some of the great Shia and Muslim scholars. Yeah. We have the grave of Sukaina, the daughter of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Also the grave of Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, according to some historical reports. And also there is a grave attributed to Fatima al-Sughra, the daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. A couple of prophets like Ibrahim, Yahya, Habil, Zakaria, Shaykh, there are some reports. And some of the great companions of Imam like Ammar ibn Yasir, Hujr ibn Adi, and so on and so forth. So this is the second point. It's not only the holy shrine of Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha.
Even some companions of the Holy Prophet.
And many other, children of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. But then we may talk about the another philosophy. It's not the only philosophy of Shia's presence in Syria.
But they've become famous for that title, but the reality is even beyond that.
Exactly.
The reason that Islamic Ummah is in danger for the higher, let's say, risk that is actually going to take the people in that area, and let's say the danger of existence of a usurper regime. So these are all in all actually come together to find the reason for such philosophy of defenders of the shrines.
Yeah, that's true.
Many thanks, Sheikh Murtada, for your explanations, and your respected listeners for staying tuned and listening to IRB English Radio and our discussion on the location of the holy shrine of the Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha, and the reason that some people actually are sacrificing their lives for the defense of the holy shrines in Sham. Many thanks again for listening and staying tuned. I live in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since most of the Christian world is celebrating Christmas today, we join them in their hour of joy by reflecting upon a wise saying of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, regarding the mission of the last and greatest of divine messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as mentioned in the Gospel of St. Barnabas. The disciples answered, "O Master, who shall the man be of whom you speak? We shall come into the world." Jesus answered with joy of heart, "He is Muhammad, messenger of God. And when he comes into the world, even as the rain makes the earth to bear fruit, when for a long time it has not rained, even so shall he be occasion of good works among men, through the abundant mercy which he shall bring. For he is a white cloud full of mercy of God, which mercy God shall sprinkle upon the faithful like rain." This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 19:20 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now, you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together in a fair in the capital, Mexico City.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture, because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different in the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa and not the traditional three wise men give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most. But a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn they were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. Looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Arce is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A Morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up the Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special, only on IRIB English Radio. And at the first step, congratulations on birthday anniversary of Prophet of Allah, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets, their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice in him. This is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice in him, for this is the day of
Muhammad Rasulullah.
Today, Saturday, is the 20th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, today's special congratulates to all on birthday anniversary of Lady Mary's son, Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Happy Eid. At this part, we'll listen to chapter Maryam, verses 16 to 17.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wadhkur fil kitabi Maryam idhin tabadhat min ahliha makanan sharqiyya.
And mention, O Muhammad, in the book, the story of Mary, when she withdrew from her family to a place toward the east.
فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا.
And she took, in seclusion from them, a screen. Then we sent to her our angel, and he represented himself to her as a well-proportioned man.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The birth of Yahya, or John, to an aged father and a barren mother was a wonderful thing, but the birth of Jesus from a mother without a father was something even more marvelous. It is surprising, of course, for a person to be given wisdom and prophethood in childhood, but it is more surprising than that. He, as a baby, speaks in a cradle concerning the book and prophecy, however both of them are signs of power of Allah the Exalted.
نبي الله إبراهيم خليل الله موسى كليم الله عيسى روح الله محمد حبيب الله محمد حبيب الله.
Today is the birthday anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And we have a question here. What is the status of Jesus in Islam? It may be a surprise to many people that we Muslims also believe in Jesus, Prophet Isa, peace be upon him. Although we do not celebrate Christmas, but we do respect and honor the person in whose name this festival is observed. We believe that Jesus was one of the great prophets of Allah, we as Muslims. In the Quran, he is called Isa. He is also known as Al-Masih, the Christ.
and Son of Mary. Jesus has many other beautiful names and titles in the Holy Quran. He is a highly respected religious figure. Every Muslim honors him, respects him, and loves him. His mother is also highly respected, loved, and honored. Unlike the Gospel or the New Testament in general, the subject matter of the Quran is not Jesus. The Quran speaks in detail about God, God's will for human beings, and about many of God's prophets and messengers. Yet all the basic facts about Jesus' life are mentioned in the Holy Quran. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Prophet Jesus Christ. Certainly, Jesus Christ is one of the major prophets dispatched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of guiding mankind to light, knowledge, peace, and tranquility, and better lifestyle. It must be indicated that the Prophet Jesus Christ is listed among the major prophets, major divine prophets, such as Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus Christ, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Christendom contains over 2 billion people. And after that, Muslims have a number around 1.5 billion believers. The Holy Quran asserts that the Prophet Jesus Christ is still alive and living in the heavens. Okay? The Holy Quran asserts that وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. The opponents of Jesus Christ certainly never killed him and never crucified him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. However, the case was confused, so that they arrested, caught, and put on trial someone else and executed someone else. And that yet they imagined that the person crucified or the person executed was Jesus Christ. But in fact, this isn't true.
This is today's special, the continuation of this program. The Gospel of Shia of Ali, peace be upon him. There is a peculiarly close relation between Prophet Jesus and Imam Ali, peace be upon them, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family himself, is respected to have pointed this out. It is reported that Imam Ali said, "The Messenger of Allah called me and said, 'O Ali, verily there is a similarity between you and Jesus, the son of Mary. The Christians love him so much that they put him in a position that was not for him. And the Jews hate him so much that they even slandered his mother.' And Ali said, 'Two groups of men will be ruined because of me. He who goes to extremes in love of me for what I do not have, and he who hates me with the hatred that makes him slander me.'" In addition, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have referred to Jesus alayhi salam as "my brother Jesus." Both the Prophet Jesus and Imam Ali, peace be upon them, are the charismatic standard bearers for the esoteric dimension of religion. Both were rejected by those who interpreted religion in a narrowly legalistic fashion, and both were defined by extremists among their would-be supporters.
Prophets all came to show people the way, to bring peace everywhere, to take evil away. Prophets all came. Prophets all came.
You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and today's a special. It's a really special day because it's the birthday anniversary of Prophet Jesus, Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, congratulates to all Christian brothers and sisters, and of course, all Muslim brothers and sisters. Now let's listen the words of Jesus. Divine omnipotence. It is said that Jesus, the son of Mary, was sitting, and an old man was working with a small shovel tilling the earth. Jesus, alayhi salam, said, O Allah, extract his desire from him. The old man put down the small shovel and slept for an hour. Then Jesus, peace be upon him, said, O Allah, return the desire to him. Then he stood up and began to work. Jesus asked him about it. He said, When I was working, my soul said to me, How long will you work, being that you are an old man? Then I put down the small shovel and slept. Then my soul said to me, By Allah, you have no alternative but to live as long as you remain. Then I stood up with my small shovel.
Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is one of the greatest prophets of God. He is one of the Ulil Azm. We have five universal messengers who are considered to be of the Ulil Azm, which means that they had the highest form of determination, the strongest resolution to worship the Almighty God, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to obey the commands of God. Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is one of those prophets. We find many references to him in the Holy Quran. He's mentioned about 25 times in the Holy Quran, which tells us how significant this great prophet is. Now today you will find that the Christian world is celebrating the birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. That's what Christmas is all about, right? Or what it should be about, to celebrate the birth of Prophet Jesus. Now there's one paradoxical, ironic thing when it comes to celebrating the birth of Jesus, right? What's that irony here? On the one hand, you have Christians who are celebrating the birth of Jesus. So he was born. He came into this physical life. He did not exist in this physical life. He was born. On the other hand, you find that many, many Christians worship Jesus. They consider him to be divine, to be God or Son of God. But many of them consider him to be just God. They address him, you know, the Lord Jesus. They pray to him. They believe he represents one of the dimensions of God, and he's God. Now the irony here is that while they're celebrating his birth, right? He was born. There was an actual birth that happened. Yet, he's God. That in itself is a contradiction. Because God is above any physical dimensions. God does not go through the process of being born. That goes against the idea of what God is, who God is.
Dear brothers and sisters, that's all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Again, accept our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Prophet of Allah, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. We leave you under Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate
When it comes to the Israeli occupation of Palestine, people usually talk about the crimes the regime has committed in this land. But Israel couldn't destroy the Palestinian people's homeland if it didn't have the support of Britain. The sad story of the occupation and its concomitant sufferings dates back to over 100 years ago. In 1916, once Britain's Prime Minister, then the Foreign Secretary, Arthur Balfour, promised Palestine to the Jewish community in Britain. Then, on November 2, 1917, he made it official in the form of a letter addressed to the leader of the Jewish community and a member of the Zionist movement in Britain, Walter Rothschild. At the time, Britain was not even in control of Palestine, as it was still part of the Ottoman Empire. Either way, Palestine was never Balfour's to transfer so casually to anyone else. The letter, known as the Balfour Declaration, marked the beginning of the occupation of Palestine.
A group of Zionists met in London in 1917 on July the 17th to draft the formula for a declaration to be made by the British government that would in fact provide the underpinnings and the justification for Jewish immigration to Palestine and the creation of a national homeland. And so on July 17th, the Zionist organization completed work that it had been working on for a long time and drafted a declaration which was to be forwarded on to the British government. The British government then spent 4 or 5 months debating the formula for the declaration, slightly adjusted it, and issued it at the beginning of November in 1917.
When the intentions of the British and their rapport with the Zionists became too apparent, Palestinians started to protest, a kind that has never ceased, over a century later. The reason is, of course, too apparent, since the horrific consequences of British colonialism and the eventual complete Zionist takeover of Palestine are still felt after all these years. Paltry attempts to pacify Palestinian anger were to no avail, especially after the League of Nations Council in July 1922 approved the terms of the British Mandate for Palestine. It came without consulting the Palestinians, who would disappear from the British and international radar only to reappear as negligible rioters, troublemakers, and obstacles to the joint British-Zionist colonial concoctions. Despite occasional assurances, the British intention of ensuring the establishment of an exclusively Jewish state in Palestine was becoming clearer with time. The Balfour Declaration was hardly an aberration, but had indeed set the stage for the full-scale ethnic cleansing that followed decades later.
We are here in the neighborhood, the Palestinian neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah in occupied East Jerusalem. We come here every week and to say no to the occupation, no to apartheid, no to ethnic cleansing. The Israeli government is planning to deport the indigenous people, Palestinian people, from their home in order to evacuate it for settlers, for Jewish settlers, for colonialists.
After World War II, the UK appeared as less influential in the international arena compared to what it used to be. However, it continued to support Israel in every possible way. In November 1967, after the Six-Day War, Britain co-authored the UN Resolution 242, which could have led to a full Israeli withdrawal from the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. However, it did very little to insist on its implementation, as a permanent member of the UN Security Council. While many might argue that Britain has been more vocal towards Israeli crimes against Palestinians, London has taken no real action to condemn Israel for the crimes it commits in the occupied territories. For example, Britain could have issued a symbolic apology in 2017 on the centenary of the Balfour Declaration. It could have been a moment of reckoning for Britain, but it was not. Instead, the government of then Prime Minister Theresa May celebrated the occasion with Israeli authorities. In the meantime, the British government continues to advocate for the so-called two-state solution, a Palestinian state side by side with Israel. But in reality, it's only protecting the interests of the Israelis.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, 3 years ago, on the 9th of November 2011, the Right Honourable Gentleman, the Member for Richmondshire, then Foreign Secretary, told this House, and I quote, "The United Kingdom judges that the Palestinian Authority largely fulfills criteria for United Nations membership, including statehood." And he added, and again I quote, "We reserve the right, we the United Kingdom, reserve the right to recognise a Palestinian state bilaterally at a moment of our choosing and when it can best help bring about peace." Mr. Deputy Speaker, that moment is now. I urge honourable members on all sides to support this amendment.
What we want is to see an Israel that is at peace with its neighbours. And I should remind you that the policy of our government is for a two-state solution, which is what we want to achieve and hope to help to bring about in a modest and humble way.
In fact, every time Palestine was getting close to claiming its rights, the UK came forward and stalled the process. When asked for clarification on the question of Palestinian statehood, then UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab sent a letter to the Balfour Project reiterating an old position. The British government will recognize a Palestinian state at a time when it best serves the objective of peace.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting leaders on all sides in Israel, in the Palestinian territories, President Abbas, obviously Prime Minister Netanyahu, Foreign Minister Ashkenazi. And look, I'm here because we are a strong friend of Israel, but we also feel very strongly that we want to see a peaceful two-state solution. We've got the ceasefire. The question is now how we can build on that, bed that in, avoid any further escalations, and try and find a track towards a two-state solution.
In just another example, back in April 2021, UK opposed the ICC investigation, saying it does not accept that the ICC has jurisdiction in this instance, partly since Palestine is not a sovereign state. Needless to say, the two-state idea is completely rejected by Palestinians, since they know all too well that none of the Western countries that talk about such a solution are on their side. That said, the resistance movement insists, as the only viable solution, on a public referendum participated in only by those who have roots in the land. Britain still talks about the so-called solution, but in reality, Israel has already killed the idea, trying to become a full-blown apartheid regime with international blessing. The support that Israel gets from Britain is not limited to these policies. In December 2020, Britain and Israel signed a military cooperation agreement.
Battle tested on civilian populations around the world. Today is specifically a Stop Arming Israel Day because our government licenses weapons to a regime which is occupying a people and is using those weapons against the people, as we've seen over the last year, against ordinary people marching for freedom in Gaza.
There are also huge arms deals between the two as well. The UK has bought £46 million worth of military equipment from Israeli arms firm Elbit in the past 4 years. British soldiers have also been stationed in Israel since day one of the occupation. They give the Israelis military advice and training. The ties between Britain and Israel are so tight that the UK can never have an impartial stance when it comes to the Palestine issue, no matter who occupies the number 10 in Downing Street. Yet this unholy alliance has been at the expense of the Palestinian people, who have been geographically fragmented between refugee camps, in the diaspora, militarily occupied, and treated as second-class citizens in a land their ancestors dwelt since time immemorial.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.